أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعنها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: من أخلص لله 40 صباحا جرت ينابيع الحكمة من قلبه على لسانه صلوات. We were discussing around this hadith of our beloved Prophet, and in the previous lesson I told you that some of our scholars have mentioned the 8 different components of a travel. Every travel, whether physical or spiritual, requires 8 components. And I mentioned that it requires a mabda, means an origin, a muntaha, means the ultimate destination, and the masafat, means the distance that needs to be traveled, and a masir, means the route, the path that need to be tread, and zad, fifth of all is zad, means things required during the travel for your survival. Sixth of all, ar-rahila, means the vehicle, the means of transportation. Seventh of all is ar-rafiq, the companion of the trip. Islam emphasizes that we don't go out on travels alone. We need to have companions, preferably. And eighth and last of all, a guide, the hadi and the guide. And we did discuss the little bit about the origin and the destiny. Obviously, the origin of everything is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the final and ultimate goal is also Allah. But in terms of the ilm al-akhlaq, we discussed in that previous lesson that our origin, the point of beginning start, is our jahl and ignorance. Because when we are born into this world, أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took us out from the wombs of the mothers while we knew nothing. So we were jahil and blank slate ignorance. So we start from the jahil, and that's the origin of our journey. And obviously the ultimate goal is what is mentioned in the Surah An-Najm verse 42, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the fact that إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ الْمُنْتَهَىٰ, the muntaha is towards your Lord. And also in another verse from Surah Al-Inshiqaq, verse 6, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانُ إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا فَمُلَاقِيهِ. So we learn in the light of this verse that we are in the process of doing our efforts, going through the pains and hassles, and at the end of the day, all our efforts are going to take us to the end result of meeting with Allah. Whether the efforts are good or the bad efforts, in both the cases, we are heading towards Allah and we are going to meet Him. So, mulaqat and liqa of Allah is a confirmed destiny for every human being. We do call maut and death as liqa'ullah, meeting with Allah. So, third of all, which is our discussion tonight, is the masafat and the distance that need to be traveled. That's what I would like to shed some light on this third one, and probably we can move to the fourth component of the spiritual travel in the next lesson. So, masafat. The distance that need to be traveled. Every travel, whether physical or spiritual, has a distance which has to be preset, predefined, well defined, so that we don't waste our times going astray, you know. So we every moment is spent towards the right direction. Wa inna hadha sirati. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-An'am, verse 153, wa inna hadha sirati mustaqiman fattabi'uhu wa la tattabi'us subul. So we learn in the light of this verse that the straight path belongs to the to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we are supposed to avoid, not to follow the various paths and isms and religions and various ways and paths that are deceiving, that are misguiding us and taking us astray. So we are supposed to stick to the straight path, which is the path of Allah. All the rest of the paths are taking us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His closeness. So this distance that we need to travel is resting on kamalat, attributes of perfection. Kamalat nafsaniya, spiritual attributes of perfection that we humans are supposed to gain. So that's where our scholars say that if you turn to the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, see, the biggest blessing of Allah is aql. Isn't that right? That's what distinguishes us from the animals, because we have the power of intellect and tafakkur and thinking and pondering, which the animals do not have that daraja and level of the aql. Some of the animals do it. They have the aql, but not comparable to the human aql. Their aql is not comparable, no comparison with our aql. So what our scholars of philosophy, our philosophers say, you know, that we, the humans, are the only ones who can derive the kulliyat from the juz'iyat. This is what distinguishes us from the animals. The animals cannot do that. And we are eligible to do ibadatun aqlaniya. Everything is doing ibadat of Allah. إِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ وَإِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُصَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. So everything is doing the tasbih of Allah, but you don't understand. So obviously tasbih is ibadat of Allah, isn't that right? So every existence, every mawjood is abid and musabbih and hamid and zakir. Without exception, every particle in the universe is abid, is busy in the ibadat and worship of Allah, plus it's musabbih, it's doing the tasbih and glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's praise, and it is praising Allah, it's hamid, and it is also zakir, that means busy and engaged in Allah's dhikr and remembrance. So they are all doing ibadat. It's not only the good humans and the muttaqi and pious humans who are busy in ibadat. Everything else is also doing the ibadat, but it's just that our ibadat is ibadatun aqlaniyya, based on our intellect based worships. So aql is the biggest ni'mat, but our scholars say we have a ni'mat superior than aql, and that ni'mat is called ilm. Knowledge is superior than the ni'mat of aql, because through the knowledge we gain the noor Knowledge is nur. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has said in his hadith, Al-ilmu nurun. يَقْذِفَهُ اللَّهُ فِي قَلْبِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Isn't that right? Knowledge is like a light. Now you are in a world full of zulumat and darknesses, and you want to walk on the masafat, on the path towards muntaha, towards the ultimate goal, which is Allah. Now in all the darknesses and zulumat surrounding us, you need to have a flashlight. In the physical travel, we need a flashlight in the darkness. Isn't that right? So we can see where we are going. Similarly, in the spiritual travel, your power of thinking is not enough unless you have a light with you, a knowledge which is nur that shows you the path. So the benefit of ilm is superior than the benefit of aql, because aql cannot show you the path. All the aql can tell is distinguish between haq and batil, and khair and shar, and goodness and evil. Isn't it right? And guide you that you need to worship your creator. That's the job of aql. Don't expect more than that. Aql can distinguish between haq and batil, right and wrong, khair and shar, goodness and evil, and guide you towards worshipping the creator. Al-aqluma ubida bihir rahman waqtusiba bihir jinan. How the hadith of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says in Kitab al-Aql, chapter of Aql in Al-Kafi. So aql is something with which you worship Rahman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and achieve the paradise. So don't expect more from the aql. So in order to see the path in the zulamat and darknesses, we need the light, and the light is the nur of ilm. So obviously ilm is one step farther, several steps farther than aql. So we are blessed by Allah that He gave, on top of aql and intellect, He gave us the ilm of Quran and Ahlul Bayt. We already discussed in one of the previous lecture in this series of lectures what exactly we need, we mean when we talk about the words Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam have used in their hadith, the word ilm, what exactly the Prophet means and what exactly the Ahlul Bayt mean out of the word al-ilm. We discussed it elaborately, and I told you, the statement of Shaheed al-Muhaqqiq al-Ustaz Murtaza Mutahari rahmatullah alayhi, that Prophet, what he means in his hadith from the word ilm is ilmul akhirah, in a nutshell. Isn't that right? Any knowledge that has a share on the Day of Judgment, that has some naf' and manfa'at and benefit for you on the Day of Judgment. If you are pursuing a knowledge that has no manfa'at and benefit on the Day of Judgment for you, then this is not what Prophet intended. Prophet intended every knowledge that has some benefit for you on the Day of Judgment. So don't waste your time in seeking those of the things which have no benefit on the Day of Judgment. So anything that has a benefit, that's part of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. That's why I always say in my speeches that we don't need doctors. Isn't that right? In our Shia community, we don't need engineers. We don't need IT professionals. We don't need chartered accountants. We don't need no professionals. We need Shia doctors and Shia engineers and Shia IT professionals and Shia accountants who give preference to their iman and the needs of the iman over their profession. If you don't give preference to your iman over your profession, I can go to a Zionist doctor as well. Isn't that right? That's allowed for me to seek shifa from Allah. I can go to a Zionist doctor. Why in the world would I choose to go to you? I'm going to choose you and prefer you over others if you give preference to your iman over your profession. So that's why we need people who are mu'min professionals. So, coming back to our discussion, aql is a very great blessing of Allah that distinguishes us from the animals, but it's not the most superior blessing. We have another higher blessing of Allah, which is called ilm, and what we mean from the word al-ilm is ilmul akhirah. Isn't it right? So the knowledge of akhirat based from the teachings of Quran and the hadith of Rasulullah and Ahlul Bayt serves as a nur and divine light guiding us and showing us the path when we are traveling from the mabda to the muntaha, from the origin towards the spiritual destiny. So we learned by now that knowledge is superior than aql. But is this the most superior blessing of Allah? The answer to the question is no. We still have another superior blessing, which is higher than ilm and knowledge of akhirat. The more superior blessing of Allah, which is actually considered to be the most superior blessing, is the iman bi walayat ahlul bayt alayhim as-salatu was-salam. Walayat is rightfully called as an-ni'matul uzma, the biggest ni'mat of Allah, rightfully so, and all our rest of amal, our prayers and fasting and hajj and fitrah and zakat and khums and so on and so forth are accepted based on our behavior towards walayat. First things first, if our behavior towards walayat is not cleared up, then nothing else can be beneficial. Actually, people who have no answer to the angels when they are laid down in the qabr, and they give a negative answer to the angels about the walayat, then they have a direct flight towards the Jahannam. So there's no turn, there's no room for the question of prayers and fasting. We are not there yet, isn't that right? The furu'ud-deen come later. If the usul-ud-deen are not cleared up, there's no room for the angel to even come to the furu'ud-deen and ask about that, because you are not even clear in the furu'ud, in the usul-ud-deen. Isn't that right? So there's no room for anyone to mention how much prayers and charities and good work that I am doing and this and that. This person has a very good heart. He gives a lot of charities. Well, they're very good. Nobody's denying that. In Allah, la yudhi'u ajra al-muhsineen. Isn't that right? Allah never wastes the reward of the good doers. So some of the good doers obviously get rewarded in this world. They never believed in akhirah. They don't deserve to get no reward in the akhirah. They never worked any single action of their life. They didn't do it for the sake of Allah. Why in the world is Allah obliged to reward them, in akhirah, when they themselves voluntarily and wishfully never believed in Allah and His rewards? Allah is adil. He's going to reward them here in this world. That's what they believe. This is their mablaghul ilm. This is their mablaghul ilm. That's where their knowledge ends, in this dunya. That's what they deserve. This is justice. So coming back to the point that iman bi walayat ahlul bayt alayhim as-salam is the ni'mat which is the most superior, and is superior than the knowledge of ilm. There were and are so many who had the knowledge. Isn't that right? There are so many who are ulama and scholars. And there were some who became even marji. Isn't that right? That's the highest position a non-ma'soom, a ghair al-ma'soom can reach. We cannot become ma'soom. Isn't that right? We cannot be equal to a'imma alayhi salatu wasalam. Nobody can be equal to them. Isn't that right? What's the highest position we non-ma'sooms can reach? To become a marji. Isn't that right? Or the wali. Isn't that right? That's the highest we can reach. So we had people who were on the position of marji'iyat, and basically were sponsored by the taghuts. Isn't that right? So basically, alhamdulillah, the system of the Hausa is a system which is supported by the Islamic rulings of the Sharia. And these kind of people were never supported by the Ahlul Khibra and high-level professors of the Hausa to begin with. They didn't have no single witness in their favor from any professor and ustaz of any Hausa to certify their marji'iyat. So the Tawdih al-Masail and Risalat al-Amaliyya of Shariat Madari was distributed free of cost by Shah of Iran through his Iranian cultural centers. Isn't that right? So, ilm is not enough. what is required for the ilm to be productive is the action based on the phenomena of iman. Iman is a combination of ilm and amal, isn't it right? لَمَّا يَدْخُلِ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. You know, Quran says that about those people who claim that we are mu'mins but they did not practice. Isn't that right? قُلُوا أَسْلَمْنَا. Say we have Islam. وَلَمَّا يَدْخُلِ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. And iman did not enter into your souls. So basically, our iman is proven only after we practice our the knowledge of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. So that's the most mentioned subject our scholars say. If you look at the Holy Quran talks about so many subjects are covered by the Holy Book, isn't that right? But the most mentioned subject in the Holy Quran is the human. The human is the subject which Allah has mentioned most in His book. And this human being, his asalat of the human is towards khusran and loss. Why our asalat? We are basically inclined towards khusran and loss because a human being with his tabi'at, with his inclinations towards the matter, is inclined towards loss unless and until he breaks. If you remember, in the month of Ramadan we discussed the concept of taqwa, and I told you that the concept of taqwa, this noor of taqwa, works as a breaking agent. It breaks, it puts a break and freeze and stop over our reckless behavior towards Allah. Isn't it right? So it serves as a breaking system. Now, if a person has a higher speed, you acquire, and a bigger body and a bigger role to play, then you acquire a stronger breaking system. Isn't it right? But it's foolproof. And we have anti-lock braking systems for the cars, isn't it? Or the ABS braking system. So if a person is moving in a lower speed and has, then a lesser kind of systems are also going to work. So a human being has the tendency and capability of moving in the highest of the speeds, and that's why the taqwa has to be in accordance with the nature of our travel and the nature of our speeds. Now, human requires the kind of braking system so that the loss is prevented, which is already there in our personality, because if we are inclined towards the matter and its attachments. This tabi'at means attachments towards matter always is bound to lead us towards khusran. Look at the Holy Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wal asr innal insana lafi khusr. Certainly, Allah says, by the time, there are approximately 11 aqwal among mufassireen where they are interpreting what is the meaning of asr. So many various statements in tafsir, approximately 11 as far as I recall, some say it's the time of asr prayers, some say it's the time of the Bi'sat of Rasulullah, some say it's the time of the Zuhur of Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam, some say it is Usaratul Khalq, which is Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salatu wasalam. And so there are various statements, but one of the statements is that Asr means the time. So Allah is swearing, according to that call, Allah is swearing by the time that the human is in loss. Certainly the human is in loss. So all the humans are in loss, except those who fall in the exception which is mentioned after it. So the asalat is khusran. For the human who is inclined towards tabi'at and material attachments, his asalat, his originally he's inclined towards khusran and loss. Unless and until, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. except those who had iman and practiced and performed the good deeds, the salihat. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. And they advise each other about patience and advise each other about haqq. So that's how we can succeed. If we don't fulfill these four obligations, four responsibilities, we are in loss. Everyone is lost except those who fulfill these four. And also look at another verse of Holy Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُرِيدُ الْإِنسَانُ لَيَفْجُرَ أَمَامَهُ. So a human, we learn in the light of this verse, human wants to lead his life with hawa nafs. A human wants to lead his life with fujood, hawa nafs, so he can worship his desires. He can do what he wants to do. Another verse says, خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ هَلُوعًا. Insan is created as haris. Insan, that's the way insan is. So unless there has to be a control, there has to be a braking system applied on the human. Otherwise, the human is going to be like this, inclined towards the tabi'at. So the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam has mentioned in his hadith. See, Prophet saw a bunch of people surrounding another person. And Prophet inquired, and he was told that قِيلَ أَنَّهُ Allama. Somebody said to the Prophet that this guy is Allama. Allama is a tense of exaggeration and mubalagha in Arabic. It's a multifold exaggeration, because the tense of exaggeration in Arabic actually is fa'al, you know, Allam. But that's not what is meant. It has a ta at the end. Which in Arabic they say, when you add this ta, it multiplies the mubalagha. It makes the mubalagha, you know, further increased. So it has a ta of mubalagha added to the tense of mubalagha. So that means extremely, extremely knowledgeable. So, and they told the Prophet that, well, this guy, he's called Allama because he knows the ansab of the Arab. Shajarat, their trees, their lineages of various families of the Arab tribes. When Prophet heard that statement, Prophet said, ذَاكَ عِلْمٌ لَا يَضُرُّ مَنْ جَهِلَهُ وَلَا يَنْفَعُ مَنْ عَلِمَهُ. That's the knowledge that somebody who doesn't know it, not knowing is not going to harm him, and knowing is not going to benefit him. And then the Prophet said, إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ ثَلَاثَةٌ. Knowledge is three. And that's where Prophet has mentioned these three things, that knowledge is either آيَةٌ مُحْكَمَةٌ. آيَةٌ مُحْكَمَةٌ has been interpreted by our scholars as the ilmu التَّوْحِيد, ilmu الْأَقَائِد, knowledge related to Tawheed and the Aqa'id of Islam. That's the first knowledge, which is considered by the Prophet to be the knowledge. And then the Prophet said, Faridatun Adila. Faridatun Adila has been interpreted in the tafsir by our scholars as the knowledge of the ilmul akhlaq and, you know, sifat and awsaf of the ruh. So the spiritual attributes of the soul. Learning about the ilm al-akhlaq and learning about various spiritual attributes which serve as a zenith and adornment for our spirituality and provide the correct cleanliness to the soul. And then the Prophet said, sunnatun qa'ima. So Prophet, after that, he said, sunnatun qa'ima, which means the knowledge about the ahkam of the sharia, ahkam of the furu'ud-deen. So, وَمَا خَلَاهُنَّ فَهُوَ فَضْلٌ. Whatever is apart from that is an optional thing, it's an extra thing. So, Prophet considers things which are other than these three as an optional thing. So, now what is required is that as we are treading from our origin towards the muntaha and the ultimate goal, we are required to adorn ourselves. Obviously, supposedly a person already believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the Islamic belief system. Now he is required to adorn himself with the spiritual attributes, so he's empowered to move correctly and to walk according to the rulings of the Sharia, so he doesn't get burnt straight away by the flames of the fire, which are the direct impact of the harams. Now this is certainly a gradual process. It's not, our scholars of akhlaq say it's a process that every previous stage requires, paves the way for the next stage. Unless and until you go through the previous step, the next step will not be opened up for you. So the next step will be opened after you have crossed the previous stage. So it is tadriji and it is tartibi as well. It is gradual, plus every previous stage opens the way for the next. So there is a tartib and sequential pattern that you have to follow. If you don't follow the sequence, it's not going to work for you. So it's a painstaking effort, but there is no other choice for us as humans to go through that. And obviously, we can never learn anything significant without the pains and hardships. Remember the story of this famous scholar of Ilm al-Balagha, Ilm al-Bayan, Ilm al-Ma'ani, wal-Bayan, wal-Badi, Sirajuddin al-Sakkaki. Sirajuddin al-Sakkaki was a very famous, and I'm going to end the speech after this, inshallah, we'll continue later on. Sirajuddin al-Sakkaki was a very famous scholar of Arabic knowledges of eloquence. And he has written several books, Miftahul Ulum, which deals with 12 knowledges of Arabic, and also Talkhisul Miftah. And Talkhisul Miftah is part of the syllabus in the Hawza. In every Hawza of Islam, if you go to a Hawza, you learn Talkhisul Miftah, which is written by As-Sakkaki. So he was a big scholar of Arabic knowledges, especially the knowledges related to the balaghat and fasahat of the kalam and the kalima. And he started to study at the age 40. The first day of his, he used to be an ironmonger, making things of iron. And he made a very nice box, and those were the governments of Khwarazm rulers in Iran. He was also part of the same area. He made a very unique and nice iron box, and he thought, let me just present the box to the king. He went to the king's palace, presented the box. Obviously, king was happy. He got the box from him. He was, obviously, it was very nice. Everybody would like the box. But as he was present there, at the same time, a person entered into the darbar, and everybody stood up in his respect, and everybody sat in front of this person in a very respectful way. And Sakkaki asked, "Who is this person?" And he was told, "This is a scholar. He is an alim." So that's how the king and others in the darbar are respecting the alim. So he thought to himself that I wasted my life by doing the iron work and job, I could better have become an alim to gain that kind of respect. Obviously, we don't become an alim to gain respect. We do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, isn't it right? But he thought to himself that I could have got the similar behavior if I was an alim. So he quit his job and he went to a teacher in the madrasa. And long story short, this teacher in the mudarris, the madrasa, the teacher in the madrasa on that day, he obviously, he saw the person is 40 years old, and then he started his education. So, and the teacher told him to memorize a sentence. If you can memorize a sentence successfully and come back on the next day, of the class, then you can be accepted, in other words. So he told him the sentence, which was the fatwa of Imam Abu Hanifa, that he told him that qala shaykh, shaykh means the teacher. Shaykh has several meanings in Arabic. One of the meanings of the word is teacher. So qala shaykh, the mudarris is referring, the teacher is referring to Imam Abu Hanifa. So qala shaykh, jildul kalb yathuru bidabaghin. Imam Abu Hanifa has said, Shaykh has said, that the skin, the leather of the dog becomes tahir and pak by, you know, heating it up with the fire. If you heat up the leather, the skin of a dog, it becomes tahir. Obviously, that was his fatwa. In our Sharia, it doesn't become tahir. It's ayinun najis. So, and nar, the fire, is not one of the mutahhirat. We have 10 mutahhirat in Islam, and fire is not one of those 10. So fire cannot clean nothing. But that was the fatwa of Imam Abu Hanifa. So he came, he went back, and after he repeated hundreds of times, the history says, Sakaki repeated this sentence hundreds of times. And then when he showed us on the next day, on the class day, and he was asked to repeat that sentence, he said like this, that qal al kalb jild shaykh yathuru bi dabaghin, that the dog has said that the leather of the teacher Imam Abu Hanifa becomes tahir by heating up and warming it with the fire. So obviously you can understand what would happen and how the people would ridicule him and make fun of him in the class. So he went out of the class, he left the class, and he went out there into the uninhabited area or desert, and that's where he was sitting, and he found the water was dropping from the stone, from somewhere on the top, over a stone, and just one drop of water. One drop was falling, and after a while another drop was falling, after a while another drop was falling, and then he looked at the stone, there was a hole happening because of the water dropping over the stone. So he was so sad over what he himself did, but then he looked at the water and he thought to himself, when such a soft thing as water can make a hole in such a hard thing like a stone, then I am not worse than stone. Is that right? So I can also memorize. So he returned back and he studied, and then he became one of the big scholars of Arabic grammar, and his book, like I said, is part of the syllabus of our Hawza as well. Talkhis al-Miftah. Every alim studies Talkhis al-Miftah of Ilm al-Balagha and Ilm al-Fasaha. So Ilm al-Ma'ani, Bayan and Badi, all three actually are mentioned in that book. So brothers and sisters, it's important to remember that despite the fact that we have the hardships in learning the knowledge and crossing the levels of amal, it's something that we are all as humans supposed to do as much as we can. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us to understand and to practice the ma'arif of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين.